702. Change your mindset.
17 minutes after 10 o'clock, Stanley Becker joins me. He is consultant and author at Change Creator SA. Stanley, good evening to you and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Aubrey, to you and all the listeners.
Yeah. Why we need to focus on leaving every person we talk to with the impression of increase? What does that mean? And why have you chosen that to be the subject for tonight's conversation?
Yeah, can you believe we're already at the second last chapter of this book, The Science of Getting Rich?
Wow.
And tonight I wanted to go through this chapter, leaving everybody with the impression of increase.
Sure.
Nicely timed as well. But, you know, I just wanted to share with you, I shared with you last week that we've decided to put ourselves on notice, and we've got a group. There's about 40 of us that are working together, which we call the 111 movement. So we're going to see if we can turn 1,000 Rand into 1 million Rand in 1 year using all the principles and things we've been learning.
Mm.
And I just wanted to share, we had our first real meeting this evening and very excited to see where that's going to be going. I'm going to be sharing with you as much as possible week by week when things start growing, how that's going. But one of the main principles is the impression of increase. And I've actually got a very exciting announcement as well for all our listeners, Aubrey, because we realize the first thing is going to be a lot with what we're talking about tonight and mindset and anything. You know, I think that was one of the big things Wallace Wattles wanted to bring across, is that it doesn't matter what you do. If your mindset, if your actions aren't aligned in the right way, you are less likely to succeed. Let's put it that way.
Mm.
And, you know, knowing that from Change Creator side, our mission is to help financially educate people in South Africa. And we've got a really exciting way that we're going to go ahead with that. So, but I'll mention that once again in our session next week. But I just want to make everybody aware it's coming and to listen to. We really want to believe, especially with our younger generation, but actually it covers everybody. Is that if you're going to change anything in your life, you first got to change your thinking. You've got to change your mindset and the way you think about it. And one of those concepts is one of the ones we're speaking about tonight. And the more you get into this impression of increase and what it actually means, the more you realize what a fundamental part of everything we do in life this really is. So I think the best way to start explaining it is to explain that we live in a universe where everything is about increase. Everything is about growing. If you're not growing, you're dying. If something isn't moving forward, it's moving backwards. I can take an example of, let me take two examples. One, just for something I think we can all sort of connect with, Aubrey, is let's take health. If you are not consciously doing something to improve your health, right? If you are not consciously getting up every day, exercising, eating healthily, making sure you're getting the required number of sleep, amount of sleep that you can, doing things to sort of combat the stress that we all experience. If you're not consciously doing things, these are not things that just by themselves get better. Your health will continue to deteriorate if you don't consciously do something to improve it. So if you're sitting now at the beginning of 2024 and a certain level of health, and you go through 2024 and you do nothing to improve your health, you don't focus on eating, exercising, sleeping, all these things that assist us. By the end of 2024, you haven't become a healthier person. You've become a less healthy person, right? And we can only see this. We don't often see this because we look at ourselves in the mirror every day. And then we look the same to ourselves, but find somebody who hasn't seen you for 6 months. And they'll say, "Whoa!" But that person, they might not say it to your face, but you can see people say, and we think this about others, so they must be thinking about us as well. You know, you look at somebody and you think, wow, that person has picked up weight. Or, wow, that person doesn't look as healthy as they did the last time I saw them. Or the person has gotten older. Or whatever it might be, we see the signs, right? Because naturally, everything is either increasing or decreasing or going backwards. The same thing financially. If you're sitting now at the beginning of the year and you're not doing anything consciously to improve your finances, we can see it for ourselves with inflation going up and our increases in salary not meeting those inflations. You are actually worse off a year from now than what you were the beginning of the year. You haven't done anything specifically, but the fact of the matter is because you haven't focused specifically on how am I going to increase, the natural order of things is that nothing stays the same. You actually decrease. You actually go backwards. So we know this, and at a deep unconscious level, I think that that is what every human being is about. From the time we are born, we're about wanting more. We're about wanting increase. If we run, we want to learn to run faster. If we paint, we want to learn to paint more beautiful. If we make money, we want to make more money than what we make.
Yeah.
You know, we always want more and more and more. So everybody is out looking for that. Everybody is unconsciously looking for the thing I'm about to engage in, the thing I'm about to invest my time and my energy in. Is it going to increase some aspect of my life or not?
Yeah.
And unconsciously, we make our decisions around that. Now, why is that important for us? Well, if you're out there in business, if you're out there looking for a job, if you're out there looking to, and this is really what this book is about, the science of getting rich, the science of increasing your wealth. In order to increase your wealth, the idea of this specific chapter is you've got to always leave every person you engage with what's called an impression of increase. In other words, you need to be focusing in all of your interactions, not solely on what's in it for me, but what's in it for both of us. In other words, what is the win-win situation here? This wasn't really a term that was coined back in the day because it was only in the 1920s. And Wallace Waters wrote this book before then. But I think this is what he was referring to.
Yeah.
In every interaction, are you going in with a thinking, how do we both win from this? Or are you going in with a thinking of, I need, I want, I must have, and you're not considering what's in it for the other person. You're not considering how's it going to increase that person? How's it going to increase their position in their job? How's it going to increase their business?
Yeah.
And the same concept also if you go for an interview. You know, how many times do we go for a job interview and our whole focus is what's in it for me? What am I going to get from this job? How much are you going to pay me? Where, you know, these kind of things. Instead of going in with, but how do I help you as a business increase? How do I come across in that interview, in that space, in that time I'm talking to you? And how do I make you understand that me working here is going to firstly help you because the person who hires is the person that's asking, how are you working for me going to help me improve?
Yeah.
So make that clear and say, listen, how am I going to help you do your job better? How am I going to help you as a business perform better because I am here? And then you are more likely to connect with people than to go in with the idea of, I need a job and I need you to pay me and when can I start? So that's the basic foundation of this, as we're going to start exploring it more, of this principle that he talks about in this chapter, is that you need to start, get out of the mindset of always taking and what's in it for me. And you firstly need to get in the mindset of how can I help others? How can I help the increase in others, whether it's just feeling good about yourself, whether it's helping you make more money, whether it's helping your business grow? Make that the center of what you do. And then he sees, then you will see people will start to be attracted to you. People will start sending money your way. People will start sending business your way. You will start finding it easier to find the job you're looking for. So all of this is what the impression of increase is. What are you going in with? Are you going in with a win-win? What's in it for both of us? Or are you going with that competitive me mindset that's only looking out for yourself? And that's the only consideration. So that's kind of the basis of this chapter.
Give us a call at 11-883-0702. Do you lead with value? I remember a conversation I had many years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, with a podcaster on this very same slot, where he was talking about a similar principle to say, in any relationship that you establish, seek first to understand how you can lead with value. How you can enter that relationship with the idea that you are leaving something of value with the person with whom you have that relationship before you seek the value that is going to come to you. I get it. I get the idea, Stanley. I get it. Perhaps emotionally, I get how it's a good idea tell me what the mechanics of this principle is. How does it work? Why is it important for me to lead with value, to be in a relationship with somebody where I present how we can find value, not only for me in that relationship, but for them? Show me the technicalities of this particular virtue or this particular principle.
Okay, so maybe to answer that, Aubrey, I think the way to look at it first is to say, what does it mean to lead with value? What's the most important thing needed to lead with value? And I think that'll get us a lot closer to understanding this principle, because it's one you really have to consider and think about. And I like what someone said about this, and they said the following. They say that the impression of increase takes place when you transition from being a needy person to being a person of value. Okay, so let's think about that.
Say that again for me.
The impression of increase takes place when you transition from being a needy person to being a person of value.
Okay.
Right. So when you think about that, I'm going to start on this angle. How many people looking for a job are going for those interviews from the space of the first, a needy person? How many people in business today, when they're looking to do business with others, are coming from that space, a needy person? But they're not focused on being a person of value. Now, this doesn't mean that you're not a person of value. It doesn't mean you don't have value. But rather, what you are presenting to someone else must be of value to that person. It must be a what's in it for you, not just a what's in it for me. Now, how do you become this person? I think this is where we need to go. I love something that I read once and that I learned once. You get four types of people in the world. You get what you call subtractors, dividers, multipliers, and adders. So let's start at the top first. And an adder is a person that adds something to your life. We enjoy people who are adders because they make you feel good. They always
not the adders as in the snake, right?
No, not that kind of adder. No, not the adder. No, this is a completely adder.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing that you're saying, and I think we need to make everybody picture what we're talking about. So think of an addition sign. You're an adder. You're not an adder snake, okay? You're not going to be on that list. But an adder is a person who adds value to your life. They make you feel good when you feel down.
Yeah.
You know you can always talk to them because they've always got an ear to listen. When you need help, they're always there to help you. These are people that we appreciate in our lives. They add value and we love having them around. Then you get what's called multipliers. Multipliers are people who add at an even higher level. So in other words, a multiplier would be somebody who's learned something you want to learn and they're willing to coach you. They're willing to mentor you. They're willing to help you out. They also are people who know something you don't know, or they can help you in a way you don't know how to help yourself. So I'm going to come back now to what I mean by that. I'm just going to mention the other two quickly. You also get what you call subtractors. And subtractors, a minus sign, these are people who take from you. We tolerate these people. They're always taking, but they're never really giving back. They're always telling you all of their problems, but they're never there for you. You know, they make you feeling less than. They're minuses. And sometimes that can be friends. Sometimes that can be family, people we're close to. But you feel less than when you're with them because they're always complaining and they're always making you feel down. Then finally you get dividers. So think of a division sign. And those are people who deliberately hurt other people. Like they say, hurting people hurt others. And they deliberately want to make life miserable for others. They deliberately want to make life miserable for you, and they're out to hurt you. So what you want to do in life is you want to stay away as far as possible from the minuses and the dividers. And you want to find yourself surrounding yourself more with people who are adders and multipliers. But here's the thing. You want to become a multiplier yourself. The more you become a multiplier, the more value you will add to other people's lives. An example of this, because I know examples help us understand the concept more, comes from the book Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill. He spoke about a man that he knew back in the 1920s, 1930s. Remember, this was one of the worst economical times in human history during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
This is a time when people with, and we see this quite often today as well, people with high degrees couldn't get a job anywhere. because there was no jobs available. But he said there was one person he knew could get a job in any business he wanted to get into in this difficult time. And he said what this person would do is this person would look at a business. He would go and study that business. Instead, before applying for a job, he would first spend a few months studying this business. He would go to the business in those times and stand outside the door and wait for people coming out, and he would ask them questions. He would find out from them what's working in the business, what's not working. And then he would go and he would do his research to find out if something is working well or not working well in a business, how does he get it to work different? How does he get it to work for the business instead of work against the business? And then specifically, he would focus on a specific role. Like, let's say he wanted to go into accounting. He would study what are the best principles to help an accounting manager do their job better and get more, and whatever it might be, improve their business. And then he would phone and he would say to whoever the manager is that he'd like to come in for an interview. But he would say it to him and say, listen, I've been studying your business and I've been realizing that X, Y, Z is why you guys are losing money. If I could come in and give you two ideas that would help you change that around and make money, would you make time available for me? And he said there wasn't a single person, no matter how high up, that wasn't willing to make time for him because everybody's looking to increase what they're doing. You see, that is an example of somebody who's made themselves a multiplier, who's made themselves valuable. He didn't just go in saying, I want a job. He went in saying, I can add value to your organization. I can add, and he went even deeper. He went to the person interviewing him and saying, I can add value to your life. I can help you increase what you are doing. I can help you be more proficient in what you're doing. So not only am I going to come in and work for you, I'm not coming here saying I need a job. I'm coming here and saying, listen, I've got a scenario. I want to work for you. I want to make money and you should pay me for what I do. But I am extremely valuable because I've got a process or a way that's going to help you and me. So if you can understand that story from Napoleon Hill, then you understand the whole principle of what it means to be a person that leaves people with the impression of increase.
It changes not only your narrative, but the energy of your narrative. So in other words, you not only are speaking in terms of wanting something, but you're also speaking in terms of wanting to give something for what you want. That changes the power relations somewhat, right? And if the power relations are changing and they are more equal, I imagine that the energy between the two people or the two parties, and I say that, Stanley, because a question has just come through here on my Twitter handle, on my X handle. Mangwedi Kinda says, Aubrey, can an organization be a divider? She says, asking for a friend. But it appears to me that the moment you understand the value that you bring somebody else that you want to be in that relationship with, the energy, the power relations change. You are not begging. You are not just asking from a position of weakness, but you are actually talking about a collaboration of sorts, yeah?
Absolutely, Aubrey. I mean, look, let's just take going for a job. Let's just take doing business. If you're in business for yourself and you're wanting to do business with someone, it's always the same principle. Everybody is saying, what can you do to help me increase, to help my business grow, to help me make more money, to help me get more customers, to help me whatever it is, it's always about increase. And if you are going in with that thinking, with that understanding that I am here, obviously you're there because you want a job or you want the business, you know, and that's obvious. But if you're going in there with a what's in it for me, this is what I need for my business to help me grow, you're probably not going to be successful. But if you're going in with the idea of this is how I can help you grow, this is how working with me is going to solve this problem that is going to increase something. It's going to increase, it can be increase of as I said, income. But today we see there's other things we need to consider. It can be an increase of employee satisfaction. It can be an increase of motivation for your employees because that will help them make more money and do their job better. I mean, there's just so many different ways that you can help a business increase. But if you can go in with that attitude, with that thinking, not of what's in it for me, what can I get, but with the of how can I help you succeed? How can me being part of your organization help you grow and help you increase. That is the thinking we should have in all business transactions. Remember, we're talking about last week, we spoke about being in the right business, being in front of the right people, so acting in a certain way. And this is a continuation of that and saying, listen, all of those things are good, but always remember the number one main thing is you've got to leave every person, you walk out of that room with every person you talk to, you've got to leave them with their thinking the idea, I want to see more of this person. I want to work more of this person because this person is going to increase something in my life, whether that is something personal or whether there's something to do with my work. That is what makes people, because I always say people buy people. People don't buy products. They don't buy things. They buy people. Ultimately, when you're sitting in front of somebody and you leave that person thinking, I need to work with you because you are going to help me increase something in my business, something in my life, that is how business happens. That is how people, and that is putting yourself in that type of thinking is going to increase your chances of landing that business deal, getting that job, whatever it is that you're looking for. That's really the principle.
Well, and is it true for organizations? I mean, somebody asked, can an organization be a divider?
I remember that question. I just didn't want to confuse what I was saying with it. But yeah, I don't think personally, I mean, I've never really thought about it. But if I have to think about it, I would say an organization per se can't be a divider. I think a divider is a personal thing. I think you might have people in an organization that are very miserable and wanting to make life miserable for others. But I would like to think that that's not necessarily the culture of the organization. But if the question is, are there people who are dividers in the organization? Absolutely. Every organization will have dividers. Every organization will have subtractors. But in the same way, every organization will also have adders and multipliers. I think your job is to find those that are the adders and the multipliers in the organization.
What do you say to a person that says this very principle that Stanley is putting forward diminishes my inherent value? In other words, I'm a human being. I'm inherently valuable. I bring value simply because I'm a human being. My sentience, the living or the life force that is in me is enough value for me to enter a relationship without having to add more value by what I can do for the other. And therefore to say that I need to enter a relationship that is going to be, what's the right word? That is going to be profitable, that is going to be beneficial to me by first entering into that relationship from a position of, I'm looking at a picture of politicians and priests praying together. Sorry, Stanley.
I can imagine that must be distracting, yes.
Oh, God. Anyway, sorry, I was asking, what do you say to a person who says, but that idea diminishes my inherent value? I'm already valuable. I shouldn't have to be going to a company and say, give me a job because I'm going to solve your problem. They should give me a job because, you know, I need a job.
Yeah, you see, and that's just exactly what you're saying there. I need, right? They should be giving me a job because I need. And you know, Aubrey, I want to I go back to anybody that is asking that question that you just asked. I want to go back to what I said in the beginning. And I said, what we're saying here isn't that it's saying that you are not a person of value, right? But leaving someone with the impression of increase means that you're able to do something that, exactly as that word says, increases some area for that person.
Ah.
So if you're going into an area, and yes, you can be a very valuable person, but nothing you can do or no talent you currently have is going to help that business manager in with what they need to do, the tasks they need to get done, help them to you know, then they're not going to hire you. Doesn't matter, you can be the nicest person in the world. But if I'm going to hire you, I want to know, and I was actually told this straight up by many business owners in the past, said, listen, if I'm paying you 20,000 Rand a month, I want to know that you're making me 50,000 Rand. You know, and that's the way business thinks. It says, listen, if you're going to come here, you can be all the person of value that you want, and you can be the nicest person, but at the end of the day, The truth is every person, every business needs people that's going to help it increase, needs people that know what they're doing in order to help the business make more money so that they can pay you. That's the way business works. So it's all fair and well to be a nice person, but you still got to have the skills. You still got to have the knowledge. You still got to have sometimes something like attitude can be a huge value add. But whatever you're doing, this is the principle. The more you are able to add value and help increase the entity you want to work with, the more you will get paid, the more value will be, and the more you will increase yourself as well. And if you can understand that, and I think what you made there is a very important point, Aubrey, because too many people are still in the entitled space. You know, everything is owed to me. I should just be given a job because I'm a great person. You should just do business with me because I say so. The truth of the reality is, whether we like it or not, that is not the way the world works. The world works if you can give increase, if you can be value, you will get paid. If you can't, you won't get paid. And that's really, it's not a me law. It's not a Sandy saying this. This is a universal law that exists. And that's really what this book is about. It's a science.
My guest is Stanley Beckett, and he is author and consultant to Change Creator SA. We're looking at the 14th chapter of the book written by Wallace D. Wallace Wattles, The Science of Getting Rich. And he says that in this 14th chapter, you need to become conversant with the principle that says you need to leave every person you talk to with the impression of increase. And the fundamental idea there is that if you are not increasing, you are decreasing. And that nature or the world has very little tolerance for that which is decreasing. If you're not increasing, even if you think you're standing still, you are actually decreasing. It's like a strange treadmill that we are living on here. The moment you stop, that's the moment you go back. So you've got to be hitting the ground running and running forward all the time if there is going to be any value in your life, if you are going to give value to anybody. And for that reason, anybody that you encounter wants to know that being in a relationship with you, business, romantic, or any other form of relationship, is one that is going to add value to them. Give me a call. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. 011-883-0702. Do you go into life requesting abundance, requesting increase in your life on the basis that you are adding value to life? Is that perhaps the idea, Stanley, that we are paid, we are given whatever it is that we need in direct proportion to how much value we bring?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a universal law of compensation that I always talk about, Aubrey, and it says there's three things that are going to determine how much money you get paid. It's number one, well, in life, generally throughout life, in any one specific area of your time of your life, it might be slightly different, but overall, it's going to work out. And that is number one, is there a need for what you do? We spoke about that last week when we spoke about getting into the right business. You've got to get into a business where there's a need. You've got to learn a skill where there's a need. The second thing is, and this is the one we're talking about tonight that you can control, is your ability to do it. How good are you at doing the thing you need to do? So if you see there's a need for salespeople, what are you doing? What are you learning? How are you improving? How are you making sure that you're not only an adder but becoming a multiplier? That's where the real money lies. So what is your ability to do it? And then the last thing is the difficulty in replacing you. And people who are very valuable are very difficult to replace.
Yeah.
People who add value to a business, to the growth of the business, in terms of, and this is not always just in the work they do, it can sometimes just be a person with a great attitude that's always motivating those around them, adding that upliftment. That is a form of impression of increase, making people feel good. You get people in your organization that maybe when it comes to the technical skills, they might not be as high as someone else, but when it comes to the other skills like attitude, they are a fantastic team member because they keep people together, they keep people focused, they keep people motivated. There's many different forms of increase. And, you know, when if I go back to the adders, multipliers, subtractors, and dividers, the sad thing about subtractors is they don't even know they're subtractors. Subtractors think they're adders. So here is an exercise I'll give everybody listening, because where you can start at home, start with the people that are closest to you, start with your friends and family, and ask, how can I leave every single person I come into contact with an impression of increase? In other words, how can I leave every person feeling better for just talking to me? What can I do? And then what you do is you go and ask yourself, every relationship I have, can I clearly state why I believe I'm an adder in that relationship or a multiplier? So in other words, can I tell you what I do in that relationship that improves that relationship, improves the person in the relationship? Because if you can't, then you're probably a subtractor. Like I said, your subtractors don't even know they're subtractors. And if you start doing that and start thinking in that line, then you will be thinking aligned with what this chapter is all about. Every person I talk to, every person I engage with, my rule has to be that I leave them with an increase. I leave them feeling better. I leave them feeling hopeful if they maybe they weren't. I leave them with an idea that can just change something in their life. Whatever it is, I'm always constantly looking to how I can improve the relationships. And if you can do that and become and naturally do it, then you will see it becomes easier to do it in the business world. And the more you do this in the business world, the more you will attract people to you, the more you will attract money and opportunities to you. So that's really what this principle is about.
We'll take a call from Roger in Orange Grove. Hi, Roger.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you, Roger. Not the best of lines, but if you can give us your thoughts quickly.
Okay, very, very quickly. I don't know if you could speak it because I was seeing people in the hospital. But what's very important is even the people that work for you in your organization, you can pay them what you think they work, but all the time, one should be helping them increase their skill, upskill the increase so they can move on in life.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. Not the best of lines there. Roger saying, Stanley, that the principle includes even employers who are paying a particular salary to their employees, but they perhaps need to also be thinking about how they help their employees upskill so that they have greater, commercial value beyond what they are doing for that particular employer. Hello, Stanley.
What's happened to Stanley? Hi, Aubrey. Sorry, I just made that silence so that I'm not distracting while the call is on. I think that there's such an important concept, Aubrey, is that I think you said his name was Roger, is that right?
Yeah.
I think Roger brings a very important point here, is that it is a two-way street. And that I wish more businesses could understand the power of that statement. Is if you could work in a collaborative agreement that you help the people in your organization keep on increasing, they will become more valuable. Yes, some people will leave your organization, you know, but those are people that you want to leave because they're not happy there anyway. Rather make the space for someone who is going to be happy there and give us their best. But the majority, and I have found this, the majority of people will stay. If you are an organization that looks after your people and you keep increasing them, so you're doing this now as well, you're increasing their value, they are going to add more value to you as an organization. And it's like a wonderful relationship. Is that, and I just cannot in my mind, and this is another topic for another day, Aubrey, I cannot in my mind comprehend how a business cannot understand that their first priority is to look after their people and to increase the value of their people, because a business is the people. That is what a business is. If you take people out of a business, you're left with desks and chairs and screens and things. That is not a business. So absolutely, I'm very grateful Roger brought this up, but the impression of increase does, if it goes both ways, it becomes that much more powerful. But unfortunately, I think what we're saying tonight, especially for those looking for a job, for those looking for business for the first time, the first step is going to be from you. You can't sit there and say to the business that you want to work for or that you want to do business with, you first show me how you're going to increase my value, and then I'll show you how I'm going to increase your value. You need to go there first with the impression of increase to say, listen, I'm going to come and work with you. This is how I'm going to help you increase whatever it is you need to. In return, I expect you to pay me. And if you are a business that's going to help increase my value so that I can help increase your value, we've got a wonderful relationship. So yeah, that would be the ideal ultimately.
The relationship, particularly in the employment space, between employer and employee, unfortunately, is one that doesn't always lend itself to that kind of negotiation. In other words, I have a company and I say, look, I need people that are going to do some data capturing, right? That conversation doesn't leave much room for the kind of creativity that you're talking about, where you can say, listen, I have an idea, having studied the way that your business runs, that might exponentially solve that problem in a way that that you would like, that you would actually more than like, right? The way that we talk to each other as employees and employee and employers, it doesn't allow for the kind of leaving every person you talk to with the impression of increase. How do we deal with that, Stanley?
Yeah, look, remember everything in this book, Aubrey, and everything that we've been discussing from this work of Wallace Wattles is the ideal. You know, it's not going to be the way it works. I think if it was the way it worked everywhere, there wouldn't be no need to mention it. I believe that more businesses than not are exactly as you described there. They have that attitude of, I pay you to do a job, you come in and do the job. Don't come and tell me that I might need to make you better or whatever it is. If you don't like the job, get out, we'll find someone else.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's a business that'll survive, but that's never gonna be a business that's gonna thrive. That's never going to be a business that's going to come anywhere close to the potential of what that business could be, because the business is the people. And, you know, it's kind of, I'll use one because I know we're running out of time. I'll use an analogy I always use with people when I ask, do you go and exercise and go and run, go to gym? And people will always say to me, no, and the main reason is because they don't have the time. But what they don't realize is that the more you do these things, the more time you'll actually create. It's actually amazing how it works. You think you don't have time to do it, but the more you do it, the more you see that it actually creates time for you instead of taking time, because you're fitter, you're healthier, you're more focused, you get things done better. So there's a whole reason why that happens. And in the same with business, is businesses are sitting there and they're saying, you know, we know that we need to be looking after our people, but the fact is we don't have the money to do that. Well, the reason you don't have the money to do that is because you're not looking after your people.
Yeah.
You're not looking after, they are just doing enough to make sure that you're surviving as a business. The difference between surviving and thriving. And my message to every business owner out there, being one myself, is that it's very clear. Invest in your people. Help your people become people who can increase what they do, increase your productivity, add more value. Help people do that in your organization. And you will see, instead of it costing you money, it's actually going to bring in money, because the people that need to do the job are going to do it at a better, higher level. They're going to be more engaged, and they're going to, in turn, have to bring in more business that way. And yeah, so to come back to it, unfortunately, we don't live in that world just yet. The majority of businesses still don't see the value in that. But I do believe more and more businesses are starting to see the value in increasing their people, which in turn increases the business.
Lethoa Nolo in Kempton Park, good evening to you.
Good day, Rob and Mr. Stan, and good day to your listeners. I have a question. My question is, I've read The Signs of Getting Rich, and I truly believe that it's got some really imperative lessons one can take. But take into account, into the year 2024, there are certain elements in the current business world. I'm a young entrepreneur, and we find it very difficult to actually enter the market, even bringing through positive value. And I'd like to ask Mr. Stan, how do we then overcome the sense that the person you are trying to show value to, as the book would incline, is not on the level that you are trying to do business with them. Firstly, maybe it could be racial, it could be background, it could be so many other things. Yeah. I'd make an example. There's businesses in South Africa that have been around for more than 100 years. So if they've been around for more than 100 years, there's a particular way of doing business that they would believe is their principle. And that, in somehow in their belief system, does bring in some racial differences. And we need to be real about it, that even though you bring value, some people in this world are not willing to accept the value you're bringing because of maybe the color of your skin or the fact that you may be not in business for 10 years and all of that. So how do we then break into some of these elements, carrying the same, carrying the same implements that are coming from the science of getting rich, but you are not able to do so because the next counterpart is not taking in what you are bringing as value. That is my question to Braob and Mr. Stan. Thank you.
Go ahead, Stan.
Yeah, I think great question. And you know, Aubrey, remember that the principles of the science of getting rich are timeless. That's what we're talking about here, is studying the principles. And one of the principles, especially in the impression of increase, so I think this is a nice way to bring it in, is that you need to focus on the things you can control and stop focusing on the things you can't control. That's what we do so wrong, and this is a perfect scenario. There are going to be people who are still very racist in their way of thinking. There are going to be businesses that are going to close the doors because they're still from an old system. That you can't control. So sitting here and focusing on that is just going to make you feel depressed. It's going to make you feel down, and it's going to make you feel like you can't move ahead. Instead, even in that circumstances, focus on what you can control, and what you can control is yourself. So don't stop learning to become a more valuable person because you think there are businesses out there that aren't going to see you because of the color of your skin. Don't stop learning. Don't stop growing. Don't stop asking, how can I add value? If you keep doing that, you focus on the thing you can control. It might not be the first business you go to. There might be a few businesses that close their doors because there's certain things they don't like about you. But I guarantee you, there is going to be a business out there that's going to see your value. If you have value, somebody will see it. But the thing is, we often give up too early. That's about the most I can say about that in the time we have.
And sometimes the people you might want to have a relationship with you are not ready to have a relationship with you. And sometimes you are perhaps are not ready to have a relationship with them. And sometimes it's okay not to have a certain relationship with certain people that don't share your value. Sometimes it may mean that you need to have a relationship and look for relationships where there is a congruence of value. Because some people, for whatever reason, whether it's racism, whether it's old-fashionedness, whether it's a lack of vision, or whatever the case may be, are just not the kind of people that you want to have a relationship with, try as you might. So maybe it might be life's way of protecting you from a relationship that would have ended in tears. Just a thought. Stanley Beckett, how do we get in touch with you?
Yeah, anyone wanting to get contact with us, just go to LinkedIn, look for Stanley Beckett One, or you can go to our webpage, Change Creator SA, one word, changecreatorsa.com. At the bottom, you'll see contact details and a place where you can leave a message if you want to get in touch with us.
Stanley Beckett, always great to speak to you. Peter on our WhatsApp line says, but Aubrey, the day we stop learning is the day we die.